540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. The government's May jobs report is a mixed bag. Nearly 340,000 new jobs were added. That's better than expected. But that comes with a slight rise in the unemployment rate to 3.7%. Wall Street reaction has been positive. The Dow gained 701 points. Big question now is what the Federal Reserve will do next. Here's business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
For weeks, Fed officials have said to us they're going to pause on rate increases. Well, maybe the strength of this report means that they will not pause. Maybe they'll increase by a quarter of a percentage point. It's going to be a very interesting meeting. It's going to be one where we have to really parse through what Fed officials are telling us about what they see in the economy.
Avoiding default and a recession is why President Biden is breathing easier. In about an hour, he'll talk to the nation about the bill he's expected to sign tomorrow. White House spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre.
He just wanted to make sure that the American people understood how important it was to get this done, how important it was to do this in a bipartisan way. This would have been a first ever default. We've listed out what could have happened. We created a recession, potentially triggered a recession, lose millions of jobs.
In eastern India, rescue workers are pulling people from more than a dozen damaged rail cars after a massive wreck. Officials say at least 207 people are known dead. At least 400 have been taken to hospitals. Railroad ministry officials say 10 to 12 coaches from one train derailed. An oncoming train hit debris and wound up in the wreck as well. It's been in the 90s in Detroit today, hot enough to send its students home early from city schools. Same thing in Philadelphia. More from KYWTV's Dan Snyder.
Students at 90 schools across the Philadelphia Public School District were sent home early due to the heat. District officials say it's out of an abundance of caution.
We can't have our students in that kind of weather. We do not want to have a breeding ground for heat-related illnesses.
Fort Bragg, North Carolina is history. In a ceremony full of pomp and circumstance, it's been renamed Fort Liberty, eliminating the name of a Confederate general. And as the post commander says, it's the country's first call now when Liberty needs defending. The woman who wrote these words has died.
You never close your eyes.
Cynthia Weil and husband Barry Mann formed one of music's most prolific songwriting teams. They wrote dozens of hit songs you probably know from the 60s through the 90s. This one's believed to be the most heard song of the 20th century. Cynthia Weil was 82. This is CBS News.
Hiring is a lot easier with Indeed. Their powerful platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A Baraboo man is in jail for the death of a man at a southwest Wisconsin campground last week. When first responders got to Bunker Hill Campground near Richland Center, they say they found Corby Neef's body. The sheriff's department says he'd been shot to death. It would take $250,000 to bail the suspect out of jail. Wisconsin's National Guard is closer to new sexual misconduct regulations. A committee of the state assembly passed three bills this week after a scathing report in 2019 that found Wisconsin National Guard commanders kept sexual assault complaints secret instead of telling the Defense Department for a decade. Major General Donald Dunbar resigned over the scandal. In sports, the Brewers are at Cincinnati today. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
If you're a motorist of the four-wheel variety, please watch out for those of us in Wisconsin who do their traveling on two wheels. Adjust your mirrors to reduce your blind spots. Allow motorcyclists a full lane width. Use your turn signal when merging or changing lanes, and allow more following distance between you and the motorcycle. Motorists and motorcyclists can work together to achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roads. Zero in Wisconsin. Together we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Hello? I'm a Marine.
No matter how you served.
My buddies from the Army are all gone now. I'm really alone.
No matter what you're going through.
I keep getting calls about the bills, and I'm trying to get a job. I feel so stuck.
We are here for you. If you or a veteran in your life is experiencing thoughts of suicide, dial 988, then press 1 to reach the Veterans Crisis Line.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Pre-recorded.
They are going to become more brutal.
Cut and cut. Hitting cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, I want to thank State Senator Mary Kunish for stopping in, and we got a lot to talk about. We haven't talked to you in a while, and there's so many great updates and great work that the trifecta and specifically you've done. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Well, Hihane Washte, everybody. It is on a Friday morning. We're taping this a little bit early because we all have stuff going on. But it's really great to be here with you this morning and talk about the good stuff that's going on in Minnesota.
Excellent. You know, it's been a hot day. It's been a hot week. And it's crazy because we talk about global warming and protecting Mother Earth. And it's funny. It's like August weather right now. So, I mean, I like the heat sometimes, but it's a little frightening at times. And I know the legislature and the governor and the Senate, you guys have been working on things to protect Mother Earth. And I just want to give you a quick shout out and appreciative of all the hard work that you guys have done and ending on time, which is probably the first time since you've been senator that or even representative that it's happened.
Yeah, we did last biennium we always ended on time, but that's because we weren't passing anything. There was no substance to any of the bills, the final omnibus bills. We were in that split legislature where the Dems held the majority in the House, and the Republicans held the majority in the Senate, and of course we had a Dem governor. And the Republicans just weren't interested in doing a whole lot of anything. And so we ended up, ending on time because there just wasn't anything left to do because they wouldn't agree to anything. I do remember one year my first year in the Senate. So this would have been 2 years ago. We finished everything that we were going to because we weren't having any agreements on some of the big issues, but the Republicans still wanted to kind of, it was sort of a cat and mouse game with commissioners. They had to be, validated, and they were they were not validating them. They were not confirming them. The commissioners, the state commissioners, in fact, they were going after quite a few of them. And so they wanted to hold it open for a while and play that cat and mouse game with commissioners. And I say the Democrats just called for sine die, which means we shut down, we're done. And there was no way to go back from that. So that was one way that we finished on time. But yeah, we did finish on time this session. We finished with just oodles and oodles and oodles. I mean, we're still trying to unpack all of the good stuff that we did. I've been to a few county meetings, you know, legislative recaps, city recaps, education recaps, and people are like, here's a list of some of the stuff, but there's tons more that we haven't even gotten to. And so we'll continue to do that work to, you know, I don't even know all the bills that I finally passed. I know that I was the top bill person in the Senate.
Wow. Yep.
I carried 116 bills. And I know that at least 60, there's more, but at least 60 of them are passed and in either standalone bills or are in the different omnibus bills. So it was a very successful session for me.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I just got to say this, Mary, I think people are paying attention and know that you were at our Ho-Chunk celebration and people gave you an ovation when you came and spoke. Do you remember that? I mean, it was like,
I do. I just wanted to come in and pay my respects to Marlene. And I was a little taken aback because I did get such a warm welcome. But I really appreciate that because so much of the work that we're doing, this was probably the biggest, the best session for our Native folks in Indian country in Minnesota that we've ever had in the state of Minnesota. And I think, you know, it's because there's representation at the Capitol and we're telling the stories and we're telling the accurate history and we're explaining why we need to invest in our communities and you know, they're listening. So that was really great.
Yeah. And how are you, you know, I talked to Jessica Hansen a couple days ago and Heather Keeler, and just asking, how are you detoxing in a sense of, in a good way, of all the good work and you know, relaxing because, you know, some of those sessions went way late and the good outcomes happened. But still, that's a lot of work, a lot of pressure. And the education bill is a lot of pressure because it's so huge. I mean, how are you taking care of yourself?
Well, I, you know, it's sort of hard because you're going 50 miles per hour and then all of a sudden you kind of come to a screeching stop and all of a sudden you don't have to get up in the morning and, you know, at 5:30 to be at the Capitol in time for your committee. You don't have to be doing the work that needs to go into making sure a bill passes, going to meetings. So all of a sudden it was sort of a screeching halt right around Memorial Day weekend, but that was a good weekend. And that's a good weekend to start that, you know, stepping back a little bit. So I find that hanging out with my family, spent some time with a friend down on the St. Croix River. When my granddaughters come over, it's nothing but fun and games all day long. Mm-hmm. And, you know, getting back to being outside is really my cure for just about anything. Getting outside, getting around water. I'm near this really nice park with a big lake in the middle and they rent canoes and kayaks. So I'm thinking I'm going to get out there one of these days and do that. So just sort of pacing myself, taking it easy and being with the people that bring me the most joy.
Wow, that's great. And I think that's great advice for everybody. You know, go barefoot and feel Mother Earth and be connected. And we're the land of over 10,000 lakes. I think really the number is closer to 15. And then enjoy the inner city is beautiful here. I think I know which lake you're talking about. Did you have a fundraiser there over a few years ago? Yeah, that is an awesome place.
Yeah, it's a really nice place. Lots of I just actually took my granddaughters for a walk this morning around it, and then we came back to do the radio show.
Excellent. Well, we're going to wind up the this segment here real quick, and I just want to talk about, you know, some of the bills that you've talked about. I know you've talked about a few of them in the past, but I think it's really great to talk about, you know, the license plates, MMIWR, the how that's really being funded forever, and, you know, the education and things like that. If you don't mind, we'll dig a little deeper.
Sure. So, like I said, it was such a good year for American Indians and our communities here in the in Minnesota. So, are we going on break?
Yeah, we got
okay. 30 when we seconds. Come back.
Yeah, definitely. We'll talk more. All right. Thank you. Hey, we're here. This is Native Roots Radio presents. I'm awake. And I'm woke, and I'm here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and Haley's running the board. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex, you make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
When it comes to mental health, making connections with others can be a way forward. How do you reach out when you need someone? What do you do to support those who struggle? Connections can bring comfort, hope, and joy. Find ways that work for yourself and others, like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug, seeing an old friend, creating space to listen. Visit cmentalhealth.org. That's cmentalhealth.org. cmentalhealth.org.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do, and we love that they support us, and what a great organization on Franklin Avenue here in the Twin Cities of Minnesota. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're just having a discussion, you know, about this great session that just ended. Mary, what kind of things stick out in your mind that you want to talk about? Because I know it sounds like you did a lot of bills, but I know there's some that are like really imperative for us natives, and we always compliment and comment on how great it is that you're our state senator, and then we have the representatives that are native too that really help support us, and if we weren't there, and meaning you, we wouldn't have a lot of this done, because we've been underrepresented
for so long. I mean, just really forever when you think about it. It was interesting because I was invited to do a little personal tour of the Capitol this week for a group of students from Morris, Minnesota. And it was a mixture of Anishinaabe and Dakota kids. And they'd never been to the state capitol. They didn't, you know, they kind of knew what goes on there, like most people, but they don't really know what goes on there. And there was one little guy that was telling me that they really don't go many places, you know, except up north. So coming down to the Capitol was a big deal. And we talked about, you know, how important it is that we have Native folks at the state capitol in order to make sure that the good things are happening for our tribes. And they started talking about some picture about the Treaty de Traverse de Sioux, and they actually knew quite a bit about, you know, the history of our Native folks in Minnesota. And I don't know if folks know this out there, but there used to be these two huge paintings that hung in the governor of Minnesota's reception room. And one was a depiction of that treaty signing, the Traverse de Sioux treaty signing. And the other was of Father DeSmit standing on the Mississippi River, on the banks of the Mississippi River, preaching to, you know, the waters, and there's a Native American man and woman there who are just sort of enraptured by his words, and French voyageur there. But the other picture, the one about the treaty, actually, they're huge. I mean, they're just huge paintings. They were removed from the reception room and moved into a different space so that people could see them better and understand the actual history is there. But they understood how the Indians got cheated out of, the students understood how the Indians got cheated not out of their land, but also of the money that was promised to them for those lands. Because what happened is that all those agencies were supposed to receive the supplies, the food, the medicines, the blankets, the farming tools, housing things, clothing, all those things. And they packed them into a warehouse and they wouldn't give them to the Native folks. So then the Native folks had to go to the shopkeepers and say, when our stuff comes, we'll pay you back. So they got layaway or credit. Well, the deal was is that they signed two different, they got the natives to sign two different treaty forms, and then they had to move over and sign a third document, which the tribal members thought they were signing a third copy of the treaty. But really what it says is that the money for the land actually goes to all those shopkeepers first before it goes to the tribes. Wow. And, you know, those shopkeepers cheated the Indians out, you know, charged them way more. So I was really impressed by how much those kids actually knew without having ever been to the Capitol. So I just wanted to say that and how important it is to have representation. I think I was there for 2.5 hours with them. It was delightful. It was just a delightful afternoon. But some of the things that we got done for the tribes in Minnesota. Of course, we made sure that the Minnesota Indian Affair Council got their appropriations so they can continue to do the good work, especially around language revitalization and that sort of thing. One of the biggest things and earliest things that we did is we bolstered the Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act. It's like a mini ICWA act. And we are concerned, of course, that ICWA will be shot down by the Supreme Court out in D.C. And so we wanted to make sure that we had protections in place so that it didn't go back to our kids being removed at, you know, those high rates that they've been removed and still are removed from those families. So that was really important. We worked on that last summer. Senate research went through our existing Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act, looked at what changes they thought needed to be done. And then there was a tribal, there, you know, just like 30 people working on it, tribal lawyers and advocates and the ICWA Law Center here in Minneapolis. And they were trying, and they were coming up with the things that they think thought needed to be changed. And so once they came up with their list and we had the bill ready to go, we just merged those two. And it was a beautiful thing. And we got that done quickly in the beginning of session. We had that done by February. So wow. I was excited about that. Yeah. We, of course, made it possible for our students to wear their American Indian regalia or culturally significant items at graduation ceremonies. They weren't allowed to do that. We modified the mascot bill so that if there's a school on a reservation and they have a certain percent of Native kids, then they can use that Native image and name. But if they're not, if they're off a reservation and they're a basic public school, they have to go through a process to get approved by the tribes. And if there are all right now existing ones, they do have to go through that process again. And, you know, if those schools and those districts are in good relation with the tribes, then it shouldn't be a problem. But it's really, it's up to the tribes to decide. Now, let's say a northern tribe, you know, in Minnesota, we have our Ojibwe, Anishinaabe in northern Minnesota, and we have our Dakota in southern Minnesota. And if the Dakota tribes say, you know what, if you guys want to do it up north, you go ahead and do it what you want to do. We don't need to get involved in your business. If that's what they say when this happens, then that's just taken as a neutral vote. It's not like a yay or a nay. And it's really up to the local tribes to decide that. So that was an important one. And we also made sure that kids wouldn't be reprimanded for wearing their sacred tobacco pouches around their neck either. And following St. Paul Public Schools also made it available. We asked schools to make available a quiet, safe, sacred spot for kids to smudge in school when they felt that they needed that. So that was really important work that we did. Another one that was really important is that we revisited the 1854 treaty agreement with Mille Lacs, and they, or not Mille Lacs, it was, I think, Boys Fort. And if I'm not mistaken, and of course, our treaties, you know, never paid out the way they were supposed to. Right. So in the 1854 treaty, there are still dollars that have not been appropriated. And now those dollars are going to, you know, they have to go back and do it. Wow. So, yeah. Yeah. So that's a really important one. And of course, the return of the sacred lands to the Upper Sioux community. There is a state park in the site where there was an agency building, in one of those agencies that held the supplies back. And it's a state park. People can go there and camp. They can even camp in a teepee that's erected there. But the problem is that those are sacred lands and there are burial mounds within that park.
Whoa.
And the chair of the Upper Sioux community has asked for 18 years for the return of those sacred lands. And this year we did it. Wow. We got it returned to them. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So there was some consternation from the local people, like where would they be able to recreate? But, you know, these are sacred lands. We don't go into cemeteries and do this kind of thing. So, but we can talk about more when we come back.
Right on, Mary. Wow, that's just a lot of great stuff going on. And we're going to jump into a little more. And then I also want to see what your summer looks like. Are you going to be in a lot of parades and, you know, all those things happening in the summer? Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy art...
From Five Points and beyond, from Southeast Wisconsin and to the world, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief, the government's May jobs report says wages aren't rising quite as fast as job numbers. CBS News contributor Javier David.
Wage gains are really cooling. And I think that that is what the Federal Reserve is very much focused on. They don't want to throw people en masse out of their jobs, but they want for people to kind of pull back on spending.
No default, but still questions about the country's credit rating. White House spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre.
The Treasury market remains the safest, the deepest, and the most liquid market in the world. And so I'll just leave it there as what we by basically laying out what we've been able to do. And I think that's important for the world to see.
New Haven, Connecticut Fire Chief John Alston says nobody was killed when a building partially collapsed.
Our units responded immediately within minutes and found several persons in varying degrees of injury, from broken bones to three that were partially buried under the rubble.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matt-Mayer. Here's what you need to know. A bipartisan bill barring people under 18 from being charged with prostitution had a hearing in the Wisconsin Assembly on Thursday. Supporters say the Safe Harbor bill helps fight sex trafficking by ensuring that victims who come forward to authorities won't face charges. Similar measures have been introduced three times before but failed to pass the full legislature. If this bill passes, prostitution would remain illegal in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Department of Revenue has $600 million worth of unclaimed property they're trying to return to the owners. The DOR published thousands of names in Wisconsin newspapers of people with cash and other property waiting to be claimed. The department says one in seven Wisconsinites have unclaimed property in their name. I'm Jane Matt-Mayer. This is Civic Media News.
It's time you checked out Champions Pub on Milwaukee's East Side, a classic Milwaukee tavern since 1956. Champions is a comfortable place to gather and enjoy a drink over a game of shuffleboard, cribbage, bags, golden tea, or just relax in its sunny beer garden or covered deck. Champions Pub has something for everyone. It's a great place to escape the usual bar crowds and hide out for drinks and conversation. Stop by Champions Pub and enjoy its good service and low-key neighborhood atmosphere.
The summer heat can really get to you. Hot, sticky, you feel like you're melting. But Wauwatosa, coming in July, it'll be easy to cool off. Enjoy Ice Cream Social. This family-run, family-friendly business is more than just ice cream. It's a cool community hangout spot for friends and family. Let's talk about the ice cream. 16 delicious rotating flavors direct from the chocolate shop in Madison. The perfect way to stay sweet and cool this summer. Opening in July. Joy Ice Cream Social. Scoop, snack, shop. 8334 West North Avenue. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Minnesota 350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Yes, they do. Hey, we have State Senator Mary Kunish on, and we've been just talking about this great session that's just finished up here, wrapping up here. And I think you might have a few more things you want to talk about, because, you know, we always have to jump into those commercials and pay the bills. But I want to let you have the mic again, and then I want to see towards the end of the segment to see what your summer looks like. But again, here's State Senator Mary Kunish.
Well, we talked a little bit about good things that are happening in Indian country and some of the things going on these days. But, you know, as the chair of education finance here in Minnesota, we passed some, you know, just some stupendous legislation. We are now a no-cost breakfast and lunch state for our students, so wow. Kids can come to school and they don't have to worry about having money in their pocket or filling out a form to get a breakfast and a lunch, you know, to make sure that their bodies are nourished for school. We created, we're going to start an ethnic studies expectation in our schools. That's going to be really, really great. Also civics, you know, I think we all recognize how important and how, you know, the power of the vote is when it comes to the decisions that are being made. And we also, not within the education realm, but in the election committee, they did some really great things. And one of them allows our 16 and 17 year olds to submit a voter registration application, even though they can't cast their ballot by the time they turn 18. So when they go for their driver's license, they automatically get registered to vote. And then when they turn 18, they'll get a notice and say, you are now eligible to vote. And that's one way to just draw people in, because there are a lot of adults that have never voted. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to do, how to get registered. And so this is not only the civics classes that Senator Swadzinski, it was very adamant about, and he's the chair of education policy, but it also allows all of our students to be ready to go right off the bat. Another one was we recognize the, you know, the trauma that our foster kids go through, not just our native kids, but all most foster care kids go through. It's really hard to not be with your family or to have gone through some kind of situation where you're not living with your family anymore. So we did put a bunch of money into really critical wraparound services that include housing support, job and workforce readiness, and other needs to ensure that those foster kids that are in foster homes, once they turn 18, even if they're still in high school, they drop off the support systems, the financial support systems, and we just leave them dangling there with, you know, what do you expect? So we put dollars towards that transition. And you asked me earlier what I was doing this summer, but for the last couple of years, I've been working with other state legislators to find and put into place resources for not only our foster kids that are they're transitioning from living in a foster care to now being on their own, or where do they go for school? But it's also our kids with disability as their young adults are moving into that. So I'm going to go to a conference on that down in Chicago. And there's the American Library Association conference down there too. So I get a 2-for-1. That's exciting. You know, those are the important things. Minnesota decided that they were going to have free tuition, college tuition in our state schools for a family, for people, kids that are under a certain eligibility. So families that make $80,000 or less Their kids can go to our public colleges and universities tuition free. And so those are some of the really cool things that we're doing. Talked a little bit about civics and voting, but we also have some other really important bills like the Clean Slate Law that is establishing automatic expungement process for certain non-violent offenses. And it removes a current requirement and expungements to be reviewed and approved by a prosecutor and has to go through another court process. So if, you know, there have been some very minor offenses where folks, you know, especially folks of color have been sentenced for extraordinarily long amounts of time. And that's just not right at all. There's also, we returned the vote to those that have felonies. Mm-hmm. Once they have finished their sentence, they're able to vote. Where in Minnesota before that, they weren't able to. Gosh, there's just so much. Our homeless youth are so vulnerable, and many of them are homeless. They don't have a place to live. Their jobs are sporadic. And so we designed a youth intervention that's going to provide direct cash to youth who are unsheltered. And this is just specifically in Hennepin and St. Louis County. It's a pilot program, mm-hmm. but they're going to see how that goes. And if it makes a difference, then we're going to do that. You know, wow. We might do that for, you know, a lot more. So there's just so many great things that we're doing here in Minnesota. I think, we ensured reproductive rights right off the bat. So important. What else do we do?
Well, we're like a safe state now. And I think a couple shows ago, you talked about people are moving here because how we support GLBT and things like that. That's exciting to hear, you know. That's the great heart that our Democratic Party here has been working on doing with reproductive rights, but also the GLBT that are under attack in a lot of the country.
Well, it's Pride Month. Don't forget. Yeah. So good thing you brought that up. But another really great thing that we did, we have the Trans Refuge Bill here in Minnesota. And that's a bill to prevent out-of-state laws from interfering with the practice of gender-affirming healthcare here in Minnesota. So yes, there are families who either they themselves, you know, the parents are trans and are treated really unfairly and discriminatorily, but their kids, there's families with trans kids, 9-year-olds that, you know, say, I know this is me, right. And this is who I am. And parents are afraid for them. I heard a report on NPR the other day about a mom who's just terrified that her child is going to be somehow harmed or, you know, go through the trauma. And there are families that are moving to Minnesota. And we hear from our Republicans all the terrible things, all the taxes that are driving people out of Minnesota and all the regulations. But you know what? If you can't stand that, then, you know, go to a different state. But we welcome those that are here and need that refuge.
You know, it's always been the spirit of Minnesota to do that. I mean, mm-hmm. I remember in the 80s, and I think you remember too, that we really supported what was at the time called the boat people, but it was our Hmong relatives that came from Vietnam. And we have, I think, the second largest population here in St. Paul, anywhere in the country. I think California, one of the cities in California, San Francisco, I think, has the next largest Hmong population, but we've always had open arms for our people or for everybody.
Yeah. Not everybody feels that way, but you know, at least the majority do. And, you know, we're putting in place the kind of things that need to be done to protect our communities.
Absolutely.
Especially our kids and the most vulnerable. Yeah.
Well, too, and, you know, people have been moving here because not only are we protecting the young ones, but with parents supporting their children and however they feel who they are, they're going to be convicted mm-hmm. for child abuse in these other states. So come on to Minnesota and join us in a good way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So we got like a couple minutes left here, State Senator. What are your summer plans here? I know you got some parade obligations and things like that that are fun and getting out in the community.
Yep. I have a pretty full schedule of events, both in our district and around the state and across the nation for conferences that I'm looking forward to. We'll have some family coming in from out of town. Some of the family just went out to Standing Rock over Memorial Day weekend, and I didn't get out there. I'd like to make a trek out there this summer for sure. But I went to the library the other day and I brought home a stack of books, and I'm just looking forward to sitting out on my deck and doing a lot of recreational reading. There's some bills that didn't get completed or ones that I want to work on. I had a really great conversation with a bunch of food truck people yesterday about the over regulation of licensure in every way possible. Mm-hmm. So I told him I'd help him work on a bill. I have a daughter with a food trailer. And so she's been like, you got to fix this, Mom. They're nickel and diming us to death everywhere we go. So, you know, it's a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
Excellent. Well, and you'll be on Native Roots Radio, whether pre-recorded or live. So we really appreciate that. And, we appreciate you, State Senator Mary Kunis. You are a doer, and thank you so much for all your years of service. And thanks for being on Native Roots Radio for all this time, too.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, Robert. Sometimes I just start, you know, I forget what we did in a week. And once we start talking, it's like, it's amazing what we're doing. So, Wopilatanka for always listening and asking good questions.
Right on. Thank you. Have a great day, a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Mary.
State Senator Mary Kunis. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
When it comes to mental health, connections with others can be a way forward. How do you reach out when you need someone? What do you do to support those who struggle? Whether you're struggling or know someone who struggles, see connections as comfort, hope, and joy. Like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug, seeing an old friend, seeing your grandma. Together we can find ways to create a path forward. Visit cmentalhealth.org. Visit cmentalhealth.org.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How? Hey, before I bring my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy, on, I just want to say, remind everyone that we're going to be on at 5 p.m. now, starting Monday. So we're really excited about that move and really excited to be in more people's cars driving home. And so we're excited about that. And nothing but good things here. The expansion of Native Roots Radio has been a phenomenal experience. And I want to just say Pini Gigi to all our listeners out there. We couldn't do it without you. And of course, Haley, all our supporters too. So all our Howling for Wolves, which has been with us forever, Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition, and all the support we've had over the years, and the new support too. I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years, and she talks about animals and our sacred animals and our relatives. So take it away, Wendy.
Thank you, Robert. Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani, and that means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hana Jinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at our local and state level. So it's always my pleasure to do that. Today, I have an article from Pupvine, and it's about 12 smells that dogs hate. A dog's nose possesses more smell receptors, and their olfactory sense is 10,000 to 100 times stronger than ours. So it's no wonder that dogs can smell a lot more smells than we do. But here's 12 smells that dogs really hate. Number one, cleaning products. First on the list of smells that dogs hate are cleaning products. To be honest, we may understand why dogs don't like household cleaners. I mean, not that I like them due to their unpleasant scent. So household cleaners are full of ammonia, chloride, besides the awful smell, which can be dangerous, and dogs can inhale it and get irritation in their respiratory tract. My advice is to use these products when your dog is not around, and after cleaning, make sure to open up the windows in order to clean the air. I know Robert and I use a lot of organic and pet-friendly household cleaners, so the cleaners that we use, we could use on the floor, and then our pups and our cat can walk right over them. So I know Seventh Generation and Mrs. Myers make some really good pet-friendly cleaning products, so check them out and make sure the ingredients are not any of those harsh ingredients. Number two, mothballs. I know I hate the smell of mothballs, but mothballs are some form of pesticide. And not only do dogs hate them, but they are also very dangerous to your dog, especially if he eats one. They're also poisonous for us also. And I know an adult wouldn't eat a mothball, but keep your kids away from the mothballs. Number three is alcohol. Did you ever ask yourself why your dog isn't keen on cuddling with you when you come home after a few drinks? Well, the reason for that is that dogs find the smell of alcohol highly unlikable. They don't like being near areas where there is even a small amount of the smell of alcoholic beverages or rubbing alcohol. If you want to keep your dog away from something, don't spray alcohol as it can irritate the skin, but use soaked cotton balls and put them in the area where you don't want your dog to be. Number four, nail polish remover and nail polish. Some of your favorite and essential products have smells that dogs hate. Your nail polish and nail polish remover consists of chemical compounds such as acetone, acetate, formaldehyde, isopropyl alcohol, and nitrocellulose. All of these smells find a way to bother your dog's sensitive nose. These products shouldn't be used as dog repellent solution, as they can cause your dog to sneeze and itch. ground spices. So ground spices like nutmeg, cayenne pepper, chili powder, cinnamon, mustard, allspice, ginger, paprika, and cardamom are all smells that your dog hates, but they are not harmful to them. So if you don't know what to use in order to keep your dog away from your garden, this can be the solution. Ground spices bother a dog's sense of smell, but they won't do your dog any harm if they are used outdoors. Number 6, fresh herbs. While you are cooking, you may notice that your dog is not around you. Why is this so? Well, dogs don't also like fresh herbs. The aroma found in rosemary, thyme, basil, and mint is a great dog repellent smell. If you haven't planted those herbs in your garden now, you have a reason to do so. Number 7, citrus scents. I think that we all would agree that the smell of citrus fruits resonate with something clean and fresh. However, dogs find the strong smell of limes, grapefruits, lemons, and oranges irritating. Citrus fruits, however, are great natural repellent smells that you can use to keep your dog away from specific areas. You can use a spray bottle and fill it with oil from citrus peelings or cut up citrus fruits and use the fruit from it to spray the area you want to protect from the intruder. That way, the strong scent of citrus will help your dog keep your dog at a distance. Number 8, garlic and onions. Well, dogs aren't fans of the smell of garlic and onions, and to be honest, neither am I. Well, that's the article talking and not me, because I do like the smell of onions and garlic. But many dog owners love to sense these smells while cooking. Yes, as I do. However, the smell of onions and garlic is rather dangerous or harmful, and dogs will simply have to get used to their owner cooking with garlic and onions from time to time. I know when I'm in the kitchen, Wanda is always by my side, laying in the corner, her favorite little spot, and she smells a lot of garlic and onion, so she probably just puts up with it because she loves to be around me. Number 9, chili peppers. Your dog's sensitive nose is not a fan of any kind of hot pepper, chili pepper, jalapenos, chipotle peppers, habaneros, or chai chilies. And it will irritate your dog's nose 100%. We all know that these scents are very strong and spicy. Now imagine that what it's like for your dog to sense it 40 times more than us. So keep your dog away from those peppers. Number 10, perfumes or colognes. I haven't used any perfumes or colognes since the 1980s, so I don't have to worry about that. And the reason why dogs don't like these perfumey scents or colognes is because you're covering up your natural scent, and your natural scent is what your dog really loves, right? So don't mask that. Number 11, essential oils. So there's some essential oils can be harmful for your dogs. We're going to list those here. Do not use citrus, peppermint, cinnamon, tea tree, pennyroyal, sweet birch, pine, lang lang, and wintergreen. For example, eucalyptus oil can irritate your dog's eyes and cause a burning sensation. Surely you don't want to do that to your dog and make him suffer. So don't use these particular essential oils. Number 12, vinegar. With the smell of vinegar, I think that both dogs and humans could agree that this smell is very off-putting. Even though vinegar is used in many home remedies, we can't quite get used to the smell, and neither can dogs. Any type of vinegar, like white vinegar, balsamic vinegar, apple cider vinegar, and so on, has the smell that your dog hates. But on the other side, as vinegar consists of acetic acid, it is non-toxic and safe, and it can be used as a repellent. So there you go.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skill through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.